Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace that comes in so many different ways to us. We're grateful for your word, for your Son, for your Holy Spirit who guides and directs us. And Lord, I thank you that even now you want to speak to our hearts. And so, God, we offer ourselves to you. And I ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. So today is Valentine's Day, or it was originally known as Saint Valentine's Day. Some say it was created by Hallmark to provide an opportunity for us common people to go to the store and purchase yet one more thing to show our love to others. But there is another historical fact that many people do not know about Saint Valentine's Day. And it was originally connected to the church. Saint Valentine's Day was originally connected to the church. And Saint Valentine's Day was on February 14, and it remembers the martyrdom of two people named Valentines. Valentines. There's Valentine of Tyrene, who became the bishop of Interamna, modern-day Tyrene, back in AD 197. And he is said to have been martyred under the persecution of Emperor Aurelian. And then there's Valentine of Rome, who was a priest in Rome and was martyred sometime during the 3rd century. And the feast of St. Valentine's on February 14th first was established in 496 by Pope Gallus. Oh, I knew I was going to stumble with this one. Gallus, thank you. The first, who included Valentine among all of those, and this is what he said, whose names are justly reverenced among men, but whose acts are known only to God. Now, there are other legends for St. Valentine's Day. The Greek goddess Venus, her offspring Cupid with arrows that pierce one's heart, that sends him into a fit of maddening love for someone. And then there was a poet in the 14th century who started writing poetry and as I understand, helping people, men in particular, to express their love. And then there's a pagan celebration known as Lupercalia. But those are legends. So today, though, as we celebrate and worship God, as Sheila stated, our Valentine's Day, our Saint Valentine's Day, is also a reminder of God's love, Jesus' sacrificial love for you and for me. And unlike our human love, which is often based on emotions or conditions or even lust, God's love is unconditional, free, a love that reaches out to you and me and desires the best for us. Now, as we wrap up our series on the prayer of Jabez, remember Jabez, whose name is remembered as, or is interpreted as, pain, prays a prayer asking God to bless him in whatever way God wants to bless him, to enlarge his territory for the purpose of having greater influence over others for God, and for God's hand to be with him, to empower God and to guide, to empower Jabez and to guide Jabez into God's will, and then also to keep him from harm, a harm that would keep him not only from evil, but from doing evil, to keep him from being disobedient to God. And friends, these are important aspects of a prayer that we, I believe, all need to incorporate into our prayer time with God, to often ask God each day for these things, to bless us, to enlarge our sphere of influence, to empower us to do God's will, and to keep us from doing that which would harm others. Now, I don't know about you, but this prayer raises a final question. And the question is this: why should we ask for these things? Why should we even say this prayer? And I believe we should ask God or say this prayer because of this last line of scripture for the prayer of Jabez. Read it with me. And God granted his request. You see, anytime I see a scripture, a place in scripture where God answers a prayer, it just brings up these questions to me. Is this prayer for me? Is this a prayer I should pray? Are these things that God wants me to ask for so he could grant them to me? And when I look at any prayer in the Bible, I have to look at the motive of the prayer and the outcome of the prayer. And Jabez's motive for the prayer could be somewhat self-serving. Bless me, God. Enlarge my territory. But then we see things like, keep your hand upon me, guide me. Keep me from doing harm or evil. And God says, yes, I will bless you. Yes, I will give you more territory, more influence over others. Yes, my hand will be upon you. My spirit will lead and guide you. And yes, I will keep you from doing harm, evil, or even being disobedient to me. You see, I believe that is what God wants for all of us to pray, for you and for me, to bless us and to expand our territory, to guide us and to direct us so that we wouldn't do harm or evil. And each one of these requests of Jabez would help each one of us to declare God's glory more in our lives, to show others how God's love, the ultimate love and eternal love, is available for us and for others. Friends, if a prayer leads us closer to God, then I think it's a prayer we should pray, don't you? Especially if it leads us to love as God loves. I mean, isn't this what we were supposed to be about? Experiencing and demonstrating God's love to the world around us, even when it's hard? Just because a person calls himself a Christian doesn't mean life is going to be easy. In fact, if you're serious about following Christ, there are forces in the world that are just as serious that you would stumble, that you would be derailed from being any example of love to others around you. See, all people, and I believe this is the very core of all people want to find true love, a pure love. They just don't know that it's God's love. And God wants all of us to find and experience this true love too. In this video we're about to watch, we'll learn of a young woman named Christian who didn't know God but found God through her boyfriend, lost her way with God, and then experienced God's true love in the most unlikely of places. Once again, listen closely with me to Christian's testimony.
I met a Christian boy when I was sophomore in college. When we started dating, he kind of introduced me to this world of Christianity that I never knew before. By dating him and going to church, there was something that moved inside of me, something that was undeniable. And even though I didn't know what it was, when the pastor did a call to come forward, that was one of the easiest decisions that I'd ever made. But it was really wonderful because in dating a man who was a good Christian man, he had this wonderful community of people around him. People, since he was raised in the faith, that believed the same thing. I absolutely did feel accepted in that community. I really did feel like it was love. Like relationships do, they often fall apart. He began to get frustrated with me as we tried to dive deeper into the Bible together. When we broke up, it was kind of a reeling of sorts, trying to figure out who were friends now and by nature calling on the friends that I had had while we were together. And I get a phone call, and one of the leaders from the Bible study has called me, and they told me that they didn't want me there. I think I felt a lot of shame and sadness. I didn't understand. I had lost my boyfriend, and now I was losing my friends too. And I didn't know why. I didn't know what I had done. And it caused a rift, a separation, I think, inside for me. And I think in a lot of ways I really blamed God. If God loved me, why was this happening? If God loved me, why did people who claim to love him so much hate me? And so I started acting out in those behaviors that I would have if I didn't know God. I started drinking and seeking love from men or from anybody who would give me that attention. I dated a married man for almost 2 years. I think the appeal of dating him was that I only got half of his love. That was the amount of love that I thought that I deserved. The lowest point I hit was when my married boyfriend's wife called me, and she took me out to lunch after everything happened. She looked at me and she told me that I would experience true love, that the man that I was supposed to marry would love me so much more. And she told me that God loved me more than anybody else ever would, and he would never let me down. It's when I really came to know the love of God and show me what grace really looks like, what love really looks like. And it was through her love that I think that I really saw that it was okay, that Christians were okay. If this woman could not hate me for what I had done, that maybe all wasn't lost.
Mike, could you just click on the next?
I met a Christian boy when I...
Turn down the volume.
Hear the bells ringing.
There we go. I believe God wants us to find true love, and even in the midst of Christian community, we oftentimes fail. We oftentimes fail to be the love that God wants us to be to other people. And a prayer like Jabez moves us in a direction where we will not only experience God's love, but we're asking God to expand our territory, to bless us, and to be really a blessing to other people. In the New Testament, Paul, the apostle, reminds us what our priorities should be. Like Paul, we should be seeking Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, first and foremost in our lives. Listen to what he writes. He writes this: "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him," found in that perfect love. He goes on to say that all that is right comes through our faith in God. Our faith in God. And when we pray, we need not fear to ask God for his blessings, to help us to grow, to guide us and to lead us into perfection, into perfect love. And Paul recognizes two things as he seeks to know God more. Read it with me. "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." First of all, we have not arrived. Nobody has arrived. Until we meet our Maker, we're still continuing on a journey. We need to always remember that. There's always one more thing that God has in store for us. And secondly, we need to always press on toward the goal. Take hold of what God has for us. Press on. Press on toward a goal. And that goal should be what? It should be to allow God to love others through us. To be that perfect vessel that God uses so that we would be, in essence, somebody's Valentine. In Christian's testimony about finding true love in God, it is the wife of the married man who pressed on, and God used her in Christian's life to draw her back to God, to find true love. Friends, we must continue on this journey and to press on, forgetting what is behind, Paul says. And to take hold of that, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us, to love God and to be loved by God, to love others and to be loved by them, to press forward and to take hold of God, and then to pass that love on to others. No matter where you're at on your journey with God, remember this: you are loved. If you're just starting to know God and to take hold of God, know that you're loved. If you've been lax with God, know that God still loves you, that you are still loved. And maybe God is asking you to do something that seems hard to you, or something that you've pushed God away because of what God is asking. Know that God still loves you, that you are loved. Maybe you're mad at God or disappointed with God because of some things in your life or something you see happening. Know that you are still loved by God. Friends, let us love life. Let us love greatly. Ask God for His best. And don't be afraid to ask God for more. And then pass God on. Pass God's love on to others. You never know when or where God might use you. Happy Valentine's Day. And now go out and be a Valentine for somebody who needs God. Let us pray. God, we are grateful for your love, love that never ends, that never fails, a love that is perfect and true. And so, God, we ask that you would fill us with your love. God, that you would cause us to be full of your love. And God, that we would freely pass that love on to others who need to know you. Others who might be sitting right next to us. Others whom we will see this week in work or in the store. God, let us be that funnel for your love. To the world around us, we ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.